Hello, this is Alana. You are listening to the Praying Christian Women podcast. I am here with Jamie. How are you?
I'm doing great. I wish I had hit record earlier because we just had a great discussion that would have been relevant.
It really was. Yeah, we were just talking about college choices for kids, post high school options, and yeah, just waiting for God to open the right doors for our children, which is hard because, when they're little, most of the doors that they need to have opened, you can open. You can call the preschool and get them enrolled. You can call the doctor and get them an appointment. When it comes to things like, is my kid going to get accepted for this job or this scholarship or this school or this opportunity? And they're a legal adult. Like, there's, we hate the phrase, but it turns into, well, all we can do is pray.
Yeah. And there's just so much letting go that happens in the process of, we were talking about things that we would have, should we have pushed our kids to do X, Y, or Z? And then our kids kind of being like, no, I don't really want to do that. And the right answer is no, we shouldn't push them because they're, eighteen-year-old boys that are
Men, isn't
men.
that weird to
They're men,
say?
18-year-old men who are, they need to make their own decisions.
They
And
do.
yeah, I remember talking to a really good friend who's a grandma, and just in the midst of struggling with my own young kid stuff at the time and, parenting stuff, I heard her talking and I was like, oh my gosh, it was an epiphany. Being a grandmother is so hard, and in some ways so much harder than being a mom, because not only do you love your grandkids just like the same way you love your kids, but you can't
You're
control
even
their
more
lives. You're
removed.
not making decisions for them. And so not only are you either not necessarily always agreeing with what your kids are doing and not being able to control them, you can't control your grandkids and what their lives are going to be like or how they're going to grow up. And so that has to be hard. And so that probably speaks a lot to my control issues, that was my thought.
Well, I think I've shared this story at least once, but I've got a good friend and mentor. I've shared some of her adages with you, Jamie, just because I really admire her wisdom.
Is this the
And
99%? Yes, I love that.
So, trigger warning, vaccine issues on both sides of the aisle. So feel free to fast forward if you hate listening to that for one reason or another. Basically, my friend, who's probably, I mean, she's my mom's age or something like that. If I'm getting my details correctly, she lost a sibling in infancy to one of the diseases that is immunized against. Fast forward, her grandchild is born, first grandbaby, and the parents are not planning on getting vaccines. And so she has a huge, visceral reaction to that. And of course, everybody knows that people who are against vaccines have a huge reaction to people being told that you should get them. And so I think everybody, no matter what you believe about vaccines, can see that this is a very potentially explosive and divisive issue in this family with very high emotions. And what she ended up saying, which I think I'm going to hold on to forever as a parent and in the future as a grandma, if that's in, and if that's in store for me. She said, I finally had to come to the point where I said, God, if my grandbaby is going to d die of one of these diseases, then I suppose that's going to be your will, and I can't do anything to stop it. And like at the time, like Silas was still going through all of his medical stuff. And so I knew what it's like to have a kid in the hospital. I knew what it was like to feel so hopeless. And I really admired the fact that she recognized, I had a very respectful mother-in-law who also recognized that my parenting decisions were my parenting decisions. And I so admired my friend for coming to the point where she realized, I'm not going to keep on arguing it. I'm not going to be, should the worst happen, I'm not going to be the I told you so. I am going to be there for my family. Thankfully, grandbaby's fine and has, survived infancy and has been healthy. And, I have no idea how any of that family stands on vaccines at the moment. So it's not about the vaccines, but it's just about her being able to say, God, I cannot make my adult child and their family make this decision. And I am going to be devastated if the outcome is as terrible as what I've gone through, losing her sibling. But I recognize that they are adults and I am going to love them. I am not going to cut them out of my life over this. And I'm going to trust my grandbaby to your care. And I just really, really admired, especially given her history, I really admired how she was able to get to that point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it takes a level of maturity and sacrifice and trust in God and resignation to self, death to self to come to those conclusions. I realize we didn't actually introduce our topic. We didn't really, we just jumped right in, which is fine. But yeah, we will, I guess our topic today is thank God he didn't answer that prayer, and just kind of a lighthearted, fun reflection on some what ifs and things that we can look back on personally to kind of recognize that we're glad that certain prayers that we had weren't answered. Maybe even looking ahead at, or looking back at what could have happened that could not have been so good, just kind of for fun. But it points to a very deep issue of God's sovereignty and trusting that even some of these like deep heartfelt prayers that we pray, when they don't come about, just how can we embrace that and move forward from that without losing faith that God loves us and that has good plans for us?
Yeah, something Scott and I would do when we were early married is we would think back to like one event or decision that at the time didn't seem huge.
Yes.
And then we'd just kind of work backwards. Wow. So for Scott, it was if I hadn't gotten into a car accident on this date 3 years before I met Alana, we wouldn't have gotten together.
Yes.
And it involved like that led to him going to this church, which led him to go to this conference, which led him to go to this mission trip, which led us to meet. Or for me, like if my high school schedule hadn't had this specific class and I hadn't read Crime and Punishment, I wouldn't have fallen in love with Russian literature and gone on a mission trip to Russia, which eventually led me to meet my husband. And so that's kind of what we're talking about today. Do you have any of those that stand out to you in your life?
Yes, for Matt, he always wanted to be a pilot in the Navy. And coincidentally, that's what our son wants to do now. But he, for many years, wanted to possibly go into the military, go either into like the Naval Academy or maybe ROTC or something. And his junior year of high school, his dad found out that he was being restationed, and Matt was going to have to switch schools as a senior, after having, I think, already switched schools. So he was, I think he went to three high schools during
That's
his high
hard.
school. So he was very angry. He wanted to stay back and live with a friend his senior year. They, he was very, very upset. And to the point where they forced him to move with him, with them. And he looks back, and for him, the like, thank God he didn't answer that prayer. His prayer would have been, please let me stay here for my to finish out my senior year in Texas.
Yeah.
But he met some of the best friends of his really school life that year. He formed very close friendships. He still is in touch with some of the people. He actually, one of the guys that he met there, he got to connect with after many years, just a few weeks ago on a hockey trip with one of our kids
Cool.
in Texas. And so, but anyway, but we wouldn't have gotten married if that had happened. We wouldn't have met because he would have gone to either Texas A&M probably, or he would have gone to somewhere else to pursue naval aviation. But he hated the Navy and he hated military and didn't want to basically live that life and was kind of bitter. So he changed his plans. We met at Virginia Tech.
So I'm excited for today's episode. We kind of came up with this as one of our, like you said, lighter topics, but I think there's going to be a lot of gems that we can glean about. Yeah. Thank God he didn't answer that prayer. So you want to open us up in prayer and then we'll get going?
Yeah. God, thank you so much for this day. Just thank you for this podcast, for this opportunity to talk about prayer in all the ways and all the facets of prayer. And as we look back, I just pray you would just even guide our memories and our conversations, because I know that there are people listening that are going through things that just hearing these perspectives are going to encourage them. I just pray this would be a fun time to remember things that you've done for us and to look forward with more confidence and faith and hope that you are good, that you love us, and that you answer things according to your will, which is so much higher and so much better than our own. Amen.
Amen. So this is going to be kind of like our game show episode we recently did. It was, is this answered prayer, coincidence, self-fulfilling prophecy? And we had a couple others in there too, natural consequences. So I need your very best game show host voice, and we can get the ball rolling.
Come on down. You're the next contestant on Thank God He Didn't Answer That Prayer. Alana.
Everyone's clapping and cheering. I'm running down. Okay, so the way we're going to do this is Jamie and I are both going to share prayers that we fervently prayed that God did not answer the way we wanted to. And then it will be up to the other of us to come up with a scenario, realistic scenario or goofy scenario that can explain why we are thankful that God didn't answer this prayer. So let's just come up with something really dumb and hypothetical off the bat. So let's say I prayed that it wouldn't rain on Tuesday, but it did rain on Tuesday, and therefore I stayed home instead of going on a walk, and therefore I was home when the publisher clearinghouse people came to my door and handed me like the giant size check that I had won, which I wouldn't have. So thank God he didn't answer that prayer, right? That's kind of the thing we're doing. So again, I think it's important to note off the bat that we do not know the hypotheticals, right? Do you remember there's a quote in the Narnia books that Aslan says, and it's always stood out to me. It's something about how like we don't get to know the what ifs, right? Like we don't get to know what if I hadn't sinned in this way? What if I hadn't rebelled against God? Or even just something, that's not a sin issue. What if I hadn't left for work at this time and gotten into this car accident and that sort of stuff? And so I think it's important to come with the topic humbly and recognize we don't know the what ifs, but it is sometimes a fun, creative game. This is almost like an improv game to just take yourself down some of those rabbit holes. I could see this being a fun way to help yourself through like a minor prayer disappointment, right? So I do this when I'm nervous about something. I will force myself to make up the most exaggeratedly ridiculous worst case scenario as a way to kind of laugh at how goofy it is, right? So yeah, we're coming at this with a light topic. So we're going to start with my medical school dream. So if you listen to our April Fool's episode, you know that this is in my past in college. So late high school and most of college, I really, really, really wanted to go to med school. There was a specific medical school. It's Mount Sinai Medical School. It's right in New York City. It's right by Central Park. And they had a program when I was an undergrad. It was an early acceptance program for humanities students. And the idea was we want doctors who are good at music and writing and art and all these other things, not just science. And so the way it was going to work is if you applied your sophomore year, if you got accepted, then you finished out your undergrad years, you got to major in whatever you wanted. The prerequisites, if I remember right, it's like some of the science prerequisites you would take over the summer or something like that there at Mount Sinai. So like it had everything I wanted. It was New York City, which sounded so fun and exciting at the time. It was kind of a guaranteed spot so that I could focus more on like the writing and things like that. I was doing theater reviews. I was the editor of our school paper. I could have focused more on that instead of beefing up my med school resume. I got an interview And I felt like the interview went so well, like to the point where the people I was talking to were even saying like, well, when you come here, you should start a string quartet. We really want to see that. And so I felt so, I wouldn't say confident, but so excited. And then I got the letter over Christmas break between semesters, my sophomore year, that I was not accepted. And it was really heartbreaking. So God did not answer my prayers to allow me to go to Mount Sinai Medical School and live in New York City, right by Central Park. Why? What's the bizarre good reason? What's the crazy stuff that would have happened if he had answered that prayer?
Okay, so just disclaimer, y'all know how great I am at off the cuff
This
and
is our
storytelling. This is like the
improv
perfect storm of I'm gonna be just battling like a fool over here and I'm gonna need you to rescue
No.
me. But
Okay, I'll
okay.
jump in if you need.
All right, so what I think would have happened is you would have gotten the news over Christmas, you would have been elated, you would have had a wonderful time focusing on the things. You would have moved to New York City, and you would have basically gotten so caught up in the theater scene that, and so burned out on med school that you decided to actually go into acting in the theater instead. And so
I
you would
love
have
it.
burned out on medical school and just like gone into theater, which sounds good on the surface, but you would have met not Scott, right? You would have met somebody else, and he would have been like a really cool guy at first, but he would decide after you guys had, three lovely kids together that he wanted to establish, like create, found a three-ring circus, and your whole family
We had to
was
go follow
going
him.
to have to be with him and do this. And so your children were going to be trained as acrobats, and
Oh, yuck. That's not my thing.
your dogs would have been basically forced into indentured servitude to like walk on balls. But the one highlight is there would be elephants.
Yeah, but they'd be
But they'd be in
circus elephants,
captivity.
and that's sad.
Yeah, so that's, I'm
Oh,
sorry. That's what would have happened.
that's really heartbreaking.
I'm
So thank
sorry.
God he didn't answer that prayer.
Right.
And now me 20 over 20 years later, I could say, yeah, if the realistic answer is I wouldn't have met Scott. I wouldn't have gone on that mission trip to Russia because I would have been at Mount Sinai studying. And I wouldn't have ever come to Alaska. You and I wouldn't have met. I likely wouldn't have become a novelist, right? Or if I had, it wasn't hard to be I mean, it was hard, but there was no real financial consequence to turning into a stay-at-home mom into a stay-at-home mom who also writes books. It would
Right.
have been a huge financial consequence to have taken out all these student loans and to walk away from being a doctor in order to write books. So I'd probably be stuck as a doctor. I don't think it would have been fulfilling. I think I was already burnt out of school. So yeah, thank God he didn't answer that prayer.
Yeah,
All
that's a good
righty.
one.
I love that you brought the circus into it. The minute you started with like Broadway and stuff, I'm like, well, this doesn't sound too
This
bad.
sounds
And
great, actually.
no, I don't think I have a desire to act on stage. I think I just want to be the person who watches and appreciates and writes reviews. But okay, so how about you? What's one of your prayers that we can dissect?
Well, I mean, this one is a little bit serious, but it's when I was in college, I got engaged to someone that's not my current husband, and we were engaged for like almost a year. And just a couple of months before our planned wedding, we broke our engagement off. And I prayed, it was on his side in terms of who, I think I maybe technically ended it because I just realized he was too nice to end it. But yeah, I prayed so much that God would change his heart, that God would, help him, because he was having, things seemed fine until we got engaged, and then he kind of was having second thoughts, didn't know if we were right for each other. And but I just prayed, God, of course this is the guy. I knew when I saw him, like the day I saw him, I was like, I'm gonna marry that guy. Like I had this feeling, right? And when you have that feeling, it means that it's from God, right? So that was something that I prayed and prayed that he would want to marry me, and it never happened, and we broke our engagement off.
All right, so picture us in like one of these. We're switching now. We're not quite game show. We're now like sleazy talk show
Jerry
and
Springer.
that kind of thing. And so now I'm like, well, Jamie, thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Your
Would you
personal
actually
story.
like to hear what happened? I'm just going to make up a name for him. Would you actually have like to hear what happens to Ralph? And you say, yes, I want to know.
I
Okay.
want to know.
All right, so then I put his mugshot. It's like a 10-foot mugshot behind us. And I say, Jamie, this is the man you almost married. And then I go into this entire like gruesome crime story about how he let's see. So he got caught embezzling from his Christian music band, and he ended up killing the lead singer and the guitarist of the band. In by sabotaging their bus they were traveling on. He didn't get caught for years because it looked like an accident. And his wife,
Who would have been me?
Janie, his wife Janie was actually the one who discovered his journal where he confessed that he had embezzled these funds and then he had killed these bandmates of his. She takes it to the police, but as she's on like out the door to go to the police station, he brutally kills her. So Janie,
Is horrible.
that is, thank God he didn't answer this prayer.
That is your true crime background coming
I
out
know,
with this. Well, and in reality, I kind of know how things turned out for him. And he's with the person that I'm presuming God always had planned for him. And I'm with my husband and with the kids that God always planned for me. And, he is not an evil person. And I think he's doing okay. He's doing all right.
I
But,
liked my version better.
your version, definitely. But what I do look back on is now that I'm out of love with this person and I can look back with clear eyes, it would have been a very damaging relationship because I actually had in my head, and maybe someone out there needs to hear this right now. I had it in my head, well, maybe this, it was twisted. Okay. So I'm almost embarrassed to say this. Maybe God has me in this relationship to help me to grow. He's never going to probably love me as much as I love him, but maybe that's for my benefit and refinement as a person. And like, I really thought that, well, let's just get married. And even if he doesn't really love me in that, in the right way, is always finding things that he's not happy with, maybe that's okay. And that's what God wants. So I could see that if, because I think that maybe he never would have broken it off because he felt bad. Like he felt really guilty. He was a good person, and so I think he would have maybe just gone along with the wedding, and the wedding day would have come and he would have had cold feet, and we would have been in probably a very damaging relationship if not ended up divorced, So thank God, not only because of the what ifs, but because of the what I have now, that I'm so thankful that he allowed me to marry the person I was supposed to marry.
Amen. No, I find it really it's fun to do the crazy outlandish, but it's also good to just recognize, I had a similar story. I only had one serious dating relationship before Scott, and by serious I mean like maybe 2, 3 months, but it felt serious and intense. And I was kind of like you. I was like, well, the first person I fell in love with is the person I should marry because that's how like good Christian girls do
Right. Isn't there just that
it,
one person and it's magical and the rest is history?
right? Yeah, so it's like I pray and then this person comes into my life and like of course it's who I should marry. What I find in that case, and there are some other unanswered prayers that I wrestled with, or maybe even sometimes do wrestle with, that I think of as almost a, oh, give me a second. My brain's foggy. I think of it as like a stepping stone. It wasn't where I was meant to end up, but it helped me to get to where I wanted to be, or where God wanted me to be.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because yeah, some of the twists and turns along the way are actually what get you, like some of the like, oh darn.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Like, are kind of what get you, like the broken
Yes,
engagement, like, you
exactly.
know, got me
So,
to a place where I met my actual husband.
yeah, I think about this with Scott and me not becoming missionaries. That was a huge unanswered
Oh,
prayer
yeah.
because that was the reason we met. That was the reason we fell in love. That was our goal for the first several years. And then when Silas was born with his medical complications, we realized that we couldn't. And for a little bit, I held out to, well, maybe it's just delayed, right? Right now, I hate to even like say it and put it out there, like, unless Russia annexes Alaska, I doubt I'm ever going to set foot in Russia, right? Like it doesn't seem to be like in the future. The desire's not there, the calling feels gone. And so I look at that again as a stepping stone. Becoming a missionary to Russia was not the final call and the final destination. My desire to become a missionary to Russia is what brought Scott and me together, right? And if we hadn't been looking at the mission field, we wouldn't have moved to Alaska. This was meant to be our stepping stone so that we could kind of acclimate to Arctic living and then, be off to Siberia. And so, yeah, I see different stepping stones like that. I see a stepping stone in that other relationship I had before I met Scott into like, I needed something. So, again, this was meant to be a very, very light episode. But since we started talking about the medical stuff, I am going to share, but again, trigger warning with suicide type stuff. So feel free to skip ahead, put on your headphones. I was so burnt out of college that I actually had a date circled. And some of this, I think, came from the disappointment of not being accepted to the school I had my heart set on. So I had a date circled in my calendar that I was planning on somehow, I hadn't totally formulated it, but I did not want to live anymore. And it was about a week or two before that this just kind of random guy who knew me from when I was working at the campus bookstore, started asking me out. And like, I think I even said like no a time or two because like he was older, he was a grad student. I thought at first I thought he was even just like almost being nice, like because he started like, so do you have a boyfriend? And I said no. He's like, well, do you want to go out Friday? And it to me, like being naive and like not reading flirtation, I'm like, oh, he just feels sorry for me. But he was persistent enough that like finally I agreed. And like I said, like it was short-lived, but it was pretty intense. And realistically, I think that perhaps that was the stepping stone I needed to even just keep living one day after another, so that I could get through that semester, so that I could go and meet Scott, a few months later. So I think that there's some stepping stones that we don't notice at the time. Do you know the song God Bless the Broken Road? It's such a pretty one, and it's such a pretty and just peaceful thought. It's God bless the broken road that led me straight to you. It's kind of like I wish I could have gotten from A to B right away. And in this case, it's romance, but I think it could be for anything in our lives. But Thank God that he didn't answer all of those prayers because it got me to where I am now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had the same thoughts about when I was in college and I wanted to be a vet. That was my thing. I wanted to be a veterinarian from the time I was fairly young and had decided on Virginia Tech because of the Virginia Maryland College of Regional whatever veterinary medicine. So I applied early decision. I don't even know if I applied to other schools. I think I was in the process, but I found out so soon. I was like, oh, I'm in, I'm going. And that's what took me to Virginia Tech. I ended up not going to vet school, not even applying, because I found different priorities. And, as I w worked in vet clinics and worked in other, laboratory research, I kind of shifted. So it was that desire to go to vet school that got me to Virginia Tech. And I don't know where, I would have picked any other school probably,
All right, so let me do
yeah.
my thank God game on this one.
Yeah.
So Jamie goes to vet school and you become the most sought after monkey veterinarian
I totally would have. I would have
in the
become sought
country.
after.
You would be, So like zoos are calling you up and they're like, my bonobo monkey or whatever, like I don't even know if that's an actual species. It is.
It is, and
Okay.
they do sign language and stuff.
It's having a baby and the baby's breech. We need you to come right away. And so you zip all around. Your life becomes so interesting that they actually make a reality TV show about you, and you've got TV crews following you to all of these like zoos, to all these places around the world. I know like you've got family in Australia, you go there and do like crocodile wrestling type of stuff. You and Steve Irwin, like your best buds
We're
before,
like
you know,
this.
you are. You're on his show, he guest appears on your show. Well, sadly, what happens is one day you are tending to a sick little capuchin monkey, and you're just trying to revive it and you don't know what's wrong with it, and he bites you. And sadly, you didn't realize that you got bit because, let's see, because earlier that day you had spilled acid on your hand in a freak lab accident. So you didn't even feel that you got bit. Well, a couple days later, you come down with this terrible, terrible fever. You get these shakes and these chills. And the next day, it's a full moon, and you feel real itchy, and you look at yourself in the mirror and like you've grown hair, and you're like, oh no, I have turned into a wear capuchin. And then, like, since you've got all this publicity, you've got to really dial it back. But eventually, your followers notice. They're like, isn't it weird that Dr. Jamie never films on full moons? And so then they start digging and investigating, and they find out that you are the world's only wear-capuchin. And so the government comes, they throw you in a lab, and you become like a test subject. You're like a test cryptid for the rest of your life. And it's really, really sad.
Thank God he didn't answer that prayer.
Thank God you didn't answer that prayer. And in case anybody is wondering, no, I don't believe that you could turn into a wear monkey by getting bit.
It would explain my like kind of fear of getting bitten by a primate. Like I do have that. Like
Absolutely.
so I think
That's really
maybe
in
in
there. I
another
know.
life that may be the path I took.
Right. Another disclaimer. Jamie and Alana do not believe in reincarnation.
No, we don't. Or, I mean, parallel universes could exist. I don't know. We'll go into that in a different
So many
episode.
cans of worms. All right. Well, do you have any real or funny, thank God he didn't answer that prayer, stories to go over?
I would say one is one did happen, and it was that we were stuck in North Carolina. Remember when like all the airlines over the holidays a couple years ago, 3 years ago, something like that, they like Alaska Airlines, maybe all the airlines, but Alaska Airlines for sure. I think it was all the airlines were just like they had pilot shortages, they had, disruption of their their traffic, whatever. So our whole family was in North Carolina, and we had already been there for what for us is like a long, it was like 2 weeks of our vacation, and we were planning on going back, and our flights were all canceled, and they were not rescheduling appointments for flights for sometimes weeks, you know, a week or more. So our oldest and my husband were able, like a week later, to get their flight back. Meanwhile, our dog is in the kennel, and
Oh,
like,
the
you know,
Archie.
yeah, and it was just the whole thing, you know, we had a house sitter, we're just having to make all these other arrangements, and time was ticking, and so we were praying, obviously, please get us all home. And then our middle son had a hockey tournament in Phoenix that he had to get home to Alaska, and then my husband and he would fly from Alaska to the tournament for, I think, President's Day or something, whatever it is in January. I don't know. Anyway, is that President's Day in January?
No, I think it's February, but who knows?
Is it Martin Luther King Day? I don't know.
Veterans, yeah, I
Whatever it is
think,
in
yep.
January. So we were supposed to be back for that, and we didn't get back. And the I remember it was a Sunday morning, and I was in church with my in-laws, and I got the call from the airline, and I came out to talk to them, and I'm thinking it's good news, and they said they could not get us there basically in time. The three of us that were left, they couldn't get us there in time. And I'm crying and just totally, you know, it was terrible. And the woman on the other end was very helpful and just said, you know, we'll see what we can do. And they ended up at the end, number one, it hit me that, like, to ask her how she was doing in all of this. And it was just like, you know, God was just like, okay, get over yourself for a second. Ask her how she's doing. And she just unloaded how hard her job was, how
Oh,
they have
I
no
bet.
breaks, and she was getting yelled at by people. So I got to pray for her. And then the second thing was that she was able to get me and the two little ones to Phoenix. So it totally changed our plans. My husband didn't go with our middle son. It was just we went straight from there to Phoenix for the in time for the tournament. And our daughter that was just kind of tagging along ended up there were a bunch of little sisters there from the other kids, it turned out, and she had a blast. We had fun. You know, my husband missed the tournament, but it was a really it turned out great. It was really cool. Everybody got back, the dog got rescued. It all worked out, and maybe even better than it would have otherwise, because it was a really cool experience for both the kids and for me. So that was kind of one of those. If it had just been a regular, okay, go home, go back to school, the two of them travel, it would have been fine. But it was really cool to see God working, and then to be able to pray with that woman and get some empathy for the person on the other side of the phone too.
Wouldn't it be fun if she was a listener to the show?
Oh, hey, lady, I don't know your name,
Hello,
but if that was me and that
reach
was you,
out to us.
yes, reach out to us.
I have a thank God he didn't answer that prayer. I was in my okay, so I graduated college in 3 years. So basically my junior and senior year were combined. So I got this terrible rejection letter sophomore year, had a terrible depression the semester after that, met this guy, had a real quick whirlwind thing, we broke up. Okay, so now we're in my junior year, which is also going to be my senior year. And I was in a way better spot, and I found a new church that was really, really like encouraging and inspiring. Turned into be somewhat cultish, which would be a really fun episode for another time, but at this point it hadn't yet. So I was really invested in this church, and they were doing a fall retreat that I was super excited to go to. I got all of my schoolwork done ahead of time so that I didn't have to take any work with me. And then I came down with a cold, which I laugh about because like this entire calendar year, I have been really struggling with like sickness after sickness after sickness. And it's gotten pretty discouraging. But basically, because I got that cold, there was like an hour window where I was just praying. I'm like, just make it go away. Help me to go to this retreat. There was also a sense of, well, I'm just going to go to the retreat and trust that God will, like take care of me there. But like, you know me, when I travel, I really have a hard time staying healthy. Like if I'm not home in my bed, the chance of me getting sick are pretty high. And they were even higher back then because I hadn't learned how to kind of temper my energy levels and rest when I needed to. So it was really obvious. Like if I did go, I would just come home sicker, like so much sicker. And I had a very aggressive schedule. I was still thinking of med school. So I was still like trying to, get great grades. I was trying to graduate in 3 years instead of four. And so I decided to not go on that retreat. And it was really disappointing and really discouraging. And so I remember being in my room that night. My roommate had gone home for the weekend. So I didn't even have like someone to hang out with. The kind of like, like we had a fun relationship. Sometimes you just watch a movie, or we had like an ongoing rummy game that we'd like all semester just keep a tally of our scores. And so like I had no homework to work on because I'd gotten it all done. I had no roommate to hang out with. The majority of my social network was out at this retreat. And so I'm like, okay, God, well, here I am. And that was the weekend. Have I told you the story? Do you know what I did that weekend?
I don't think so.
Instead, that was the weekend I started to research mission trips to Russia.
Oh,
And
wow, because you
that
didn't have anything
is,
else to do.
yep. So I found one. I really liked this organization. I mean, I researched really thoroughly. Like I probably spent 4 or 5 hours just researching different organizations. I sent one of them an email. I said, hey, I'm interested in your summer trip to Russia. Can you give me more information? And the person who wrote back turned into a really good friend that, we still really are connected to today. And she said, sure. In fact, we have someone who just came back from our summer mission trip and who has said that he'd love to answer any questions that prospective short-term missionaries might have about their experience. So she gave me Scott's email address. It was a Hotmail address at the time.
A
And
hot
a
meal.
hot.
Oh, yeah.
And so Scott and I started emailing, and that is how we met, and that is how we fell in love. And so again, thank God he didn't answer that prayer, because otherwise I would have gone on that retreat and never would have made that connection.
So in college, we had this joke. It was like that Christian guys are like, "Hey, baby, can I be your spiritual mentor?"
Oh, yeah.
So Scott wrote back, "Hey, baby, can I be your mission trip mentor?"
I sure would love to lay hands on you and pray.
Okay.
No.
PG-13 episode, guys.
I know this is supposed to be our fun, light one.
It
Yeah.
was, but it was fun. It was fun in a way. We touched on some serious things. We touched on some silly things,
Yeah.
but it was, I think we hit some good points.
Yeah. So how about we almost never give listener homework, but let's do it. I would say listener homework. Think of up to three scenarios like Jamie and I have shared. Make at least one of them like for real, kind of like me getting sick or things like that. And make at least one of them really, really goofy, like me being forced to join the circus. And maybe even share it. Like if you've got kids, it could be a great example for them. Be like, hey guys, did you know that if it hadn't been for this one thing, like you wouldn't have been born, or things like that. Fun way to teach others that there are so many beautiful blessings in unanswered prayers. Oh, and how about this? Last listener homework. If you don't know the song, go listen to I like Selah's version. Go listen to Selah's version of God Bless the Broken Road, because it's a love song, but it truly is beautiful, and it speaks to how God uses all the twists and turns and disappointments in our life to bring us to where he wants us to be.
Amen. And I think the listener
Amen.
homework should be like a new thing. I think we should make that part of every episode is giving
And then they have to
listener.
like email it to us and we'll grade it
I don't want to have any more papers to grade. I'm
and
not gonna do that, but you could.
no
No,
thanks.
I don't think you're gonna do it either. But we could just you could share like how
Leave a
it turned
comment.
out. Leave a
Yeah.
comment.
Leave a
Yeah.
comment with your thank God he didn't answer that prayer. We really need to
Yes.
shorten that, don't we? That's a mouthful. But until we come up with a cool acronym for it, share your thank God he didn't answer that prayer story with us or with someone in your family or with a friend, and have fun doing at least one goofy version of it too, because I think God is delighted when we can laugh and when we can express our joy and our gratitude. So thank God that I am not in a circus. Thank God that I am not guilty of holding little cute elephants in captivity. And thank God that Jamie, you are no longer a
Aware
werecapuchin.
capuchin. That's it, could have
It
been a thing, guys.
could have been a thing. It would have been pretty scary. They're really tiny too, aren't they?
Think they're, are they the ones from Night at the Museum?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're creepy to me. They
So.
look cute, but I feel like they're sinister. And maybe it's just because of Night at the Museum that I think
Maybe it
that.
is. But can you imagine, like, you turn into this cryptid creature, but you're only like, a foot tall or something?
Yeah, not very. There would have to be a lot of them to make them like a force to be reckoned with. So
Unless it's like a raccoon. Raccoons are small, but
I would
like, I
go and
wouldn't.
make, I would probably go and as a werecapuchin, I would like create an army of werecapuchi.
Oh, okay. So you would just bite all of your friends and turn
Yeah,
them.
you might be one of
Oh, all right. Can I be your general at least or
them.
something
Okay, I'll put
cool?
you in. I will always put you in charge. Don't worry.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us. Let's go ahead and close with our blessing and benediction. May God's peace rest on you so that your heart will not be troubled and you will not be afraid. May the peace of Christ that transcends knowledge and understanding guard you, fill you, protect you, and surround you. May your spirit be steadfast, trusting in the Lord, and may the Lord of peace himself quiet your spirit, regardless of whatever struggles, trials, or storms are confronting you today.
Our benediction is from Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Praying Christian Women podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so please leave us a comment to let us know what questions or topics we can address in future shows. Then hop over to prayingchristianwomen.com/journal to download your free prayer guide. We're so glad you joined us for today's show, and we wish you God's deepest blessings as you draw closer to Him and change the world one prayer at a time.